You're listening to TV Tangents, a retro TV podcast. Thanks for joining us once again. Today, we are talking about a show from the 60s that I loved.
Loved.
Bewitched.
Bewitched is amazing.
Bewitched was an NBC sitcom, and it aired from 1964 to 1972. So we're going to tell you a little bit about it today.
I just have to say, how awesome would it be to be a witch?
Just to, twitch your nose?
Yeah.
And I've tried it. It doesn't work.
I can't twitch my nose. I tried that as a child, I think, a
Me
lot.
Too.
And then I tried to just do, I'd move it myself.
Did you do the Tabitha one?
Yeah.
Because Tabitha used her finger.
Yeah, she'd use her finger when she was a kid.
Never worked.
And I'm like, why can't, this would be amazing. And that's why it killed me that, during the show, that Darren Stevens, which is her husband, mm-hmm. would always be mad about the witchcraft.
Okay, let me tell you what I feel about that.
Durwood.
Okay. So, Bewitched starred Elizabeth Montgomery, and Dick York was her husband, Darren.
Yes.
Durwood. Is what her mother called him.
Yes.
And later, Dick Sargent.
Yes.
York. Dick Sargent.
Sergeant York.
And Agnes Moorehead was her mother, and Dora, who I always loved.
Yes.
I just loved her sass. And it's a show about a witch who marries a mortal man, and he convinces her to live as a mortal in the suburbs, which to me is kind of oppressive.
The you know? Show in general, I've recently watched more episodes, and mm-hmm. again, I understand, 60s, and that's fine. But yeah, very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found the very first episode.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, because then I thought, okay, if he knew she was a witch, well, he didn't know she was a witch.
Not at first when they were dating.
Well, when they got married, the night of their honeymoon, quote mm-hmm. unquote, they're in a hotel. And mother appears, of course, mm-hmm. mother appears, and she's like, didn't even know Samantha got married, I think. And she's like, oh, he's immortal, da da da. He mm-hmm. doesn't know. I'm going to tell him. And Dora messes with Darren. He's in the hotel, and she keeps, he comes to the door, and then she magically makes him appear in the lobby again. And so, all this stuff was happening. So then when he finally does come up and Samantha decides to tell him, he's like, oh, you're a witch. Okay.
Yeah.
And she does. And she's like, well, I'm not very good at it. She did a couple things, and I was like, oh, okay, interesting. And he's like, well, you need to promise that you're not going to do that anymore. And she's
Why?
Like, I know. I'm like, this, I think, you could have the best life ever.
I think it challenges his manhood for Definitely. Her to do things. But Definitely. Sometimes he asks her to do things.
Yes. And even had a little kid stay with them.
I saw that one.
Also a warlock.
He was a warlock and he was practicing. Yep. And
had to promise not to do anything. And then a burglar breaks mm-hmm. in. And
Darren's Durwood like, okay, you need to do it now.
Hey, come on. He's like, nope, I made a promise. Mm-hmm. Like a smart little kid.
Exactly what I would have done. Durwood.
She, I think, actually said he was the master of the house one time.
Yes, that was when the little boy was visiting him.
Yeah. And then there was another time he's like, okay, Sam, enough with all this. Can you go in the kitchen and make me breakfast? I have to get to work. And I was like, oh, snap.
And it was the early 60s. And at this time, we always think of, in our generation, we think of women's suffrage and that kind of thing as being when women got the rights that they have today. And and we think of it that way. But women gaining the right to vote, that's all that was.
Mm-hmm.
Even up to the 60s, women still couldn't do things. Like, they couldn't, a married woman couldn't open a bank account without her husband's permission.
So crazy.
And single women, when birth control was introduced, single women weren't allowed to have birth control because they weren't supposed to need it and things like that. And women didn't really have a lot of rights at that time. There was no such thing as sexual harassment. Women could be fired from their job for getting engaged, for getting pregnant, for being not attractive anymore. So
crazy.
There was still all that oppression. And this was around the time that the book The Feminine Mystique came out, which was a book that told women, you don't have to be you don't have to be resigned to being a housewife. If you feel unhappy being a housewife, it's because that's not what you're meant to do. If you like being a housewife, then be a housewife, but mm-hmm. don't do it because people say that you have to. Hmm. And so there were men who would forbid their wives from reading this book. And it was about women's sexuality and all that stuff. So all that was happening around the time that Bewitched started. I think that Bewitched was trying to tackle like civil rights kind of issues mm-hmm. without being in your face about it. And when it started, there were obviously like religious people who didn't want a show about witches. So it went through a lot of networks before it was picked up.
I guess that would be really taboo to have it be, oh, it's witchcraft, mm-hmm. even though, you know, it's a sitcom and the stuff is funny.
Yeah, and I mean, in its debut season, it was the number two show in America. So those bigwigs that were worried about, you know, people won't like it because there are witches in it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were proven wrong.
Yeah.
There's actually a podcast that I used to listen to until he stopped recording. It was called Nose Twitch, and it's on Apple Podcasts. You can still hear it. And the host, his name is Austin, and he goes over each episode individually. So he just got through the first season, but he talks, he's gay and he's married, and he talks about the connotations of Bewitched and how that relates to civil rights and like mixed marriages and gay marriages and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's really interesting the way that he talks about it. I'm not going to get into all that because I don't think I'm qualified to talk on that. But if you go back into Apple Podcasts, you can listen to Nose Twitch, and it's really interesting stuff. And it's a really fun podcast.
Well, I do think, too, just watching, I remember watching it on reruns, of course, when I was young. Whenever it was on, I remember seeing it a lot as a kid. But recently, I went back and, again, watched some episodes, as we tend to do, because it's our favorite thing. So I don't know if you saw this episode or remembered this episode, but you were just talking about civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an episode where this couple comes over to the house that Darren works with the guy.
Oh.
This is a couple that comes over. They're black.
Oh.
And their daughter is going to spend the night because they're going on a trip.
I haven't seen this one.
Yeah. It's interesting, to say the least. My jaw dropped several times just because of, you know, it's 2018. And it was like, oh, they are like, okay, she's going to stay. And I forget the little girl's name. So they leave. And she's playing with Tabitha. So it's all great. So her and Tabitha are like the same age. And they're having fun. And they're like, oh, yay. You know, we're such good friends. And we're like sisters and da da da. Well, there's a guy who also then comes to the house who is supposedly looking to be with the firm that Darren works for.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to check out the guy who's going to do his work beforehand. Comes to the house. The little girl who's staying over answers the door. So this guy comes to the door and he's just like, oh, well, hello. And he's like, your mommy must be the housekeeper, huh? And I was like, oh.
Oh, 60s.
I know. I was like, oh, God, I gotta remember it's the 60s. And I was like, oh. And she's like, what? And he's like, your mommy work here? No. So now this guy has the idea that this is Darren's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's married to a black woman.
Oh.
So then he's very, like, taken aback. And he's just like, okay. And he leaves. And she's like, do-do-do. They go off to play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he then decides he's not giving his business to Darren.
Oh my goodness.
And they find this out, but doesn't say why. Well, then during this time, Tabitha and this little girl are playing together. Well, they're, she's like, oh, I could do something fun, but it's a secret. You have to close your eyes. She's like, she doesn't want to tell her she's a witch.
Mm-hmm.
She turns the little girl white.
Oh.
And again, I'm like, oh, dear God. They're like, oh, how'd you do that? And then Tabitha's like, well, I'm a witch. So she tells her, because that's what little kids do. They're like, I can't keep a secret. So then she, I think she turns her back, and Tabitha says something along the lines of, she says it, and then she didn't mean it. So she's like, I turned you white, and it was great.
Oh.
And she met me, and she goes, because then we were sisters, and we look alike.
Aww.
So that's what her connotation was. But when she first said it, she stopped, and I was like, oh.
Oh, God, where's this going?
I know, I was like, oh, dear God. Goodness. So they wanted to be sisters, and at one point, she had them both polka-dotted. Like, they were both polka-dotted. And wouldn't turn it back, or didn't know how, because, you know, she's a learning witch and everything. But this guy ends up coming back. They have like a work Christmas party there. So this guy comes back and now he has a doll for this little girl. And it's a black doll. Mm-hmm. And again, the guy's just so bizarre. So he shows up and it's like he's all judgmental and weird. Well, then that other couple who's coming to get their comes back. So, of course, there's a misunderstanding. Shocking. I know it's a sitcom. And the woman who's the mother is now talking to Darren when this guy comes in. So now he thinks this is Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all confusing and crazy. So they end up going upstairs and talking to the little girls. Well, when they come back down, they realize who this guy is. And he's talking to people. And he's saying things like, I realize something about myself. I'm a racist. And he's like, but I'm a sneaky racist because I didn't know. And then he says a bunch of his friends. I can't even say the word. But I was just like, oh, dear God, this episode is so crazy. And at one point, Samantha like makes him see everybody with black skin.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one who sees everyone that way.
Huh.
And he ends up coming back the next day, like on Christmas of all times. And then they invite him for dinner and he's all apologetic. It just, the whole episode, I'm like, my jaw's just dropping the whole time. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. And this is the 60s.
Could you imagine watching that in the 60s?
Oh my God. And people probably were like, oh yeah, that's weird back then. I mean, he even said something too, like when he thought they were married, like it takes guts to do what you're doing. And, but then that also kind of gave me the whole theme too, that Hollywood was like ahead of their time where
They're trying to teach you something without coming out and saying it.
Right.
Most of the time. This one, they're kind of coming out and saying it.
Yes.
But the theme of the show is that it is a mixed marriage between these two. Because, first of all, Samantha is like over 100 years old or a couple hundred mm-hmm. years old. She references that through the show a lot of times. But also, her family doesn't approve of her being married to him.
Right.
And it's more along the lines of, like, religious differences. But her family just can't understand why she would do this mm-hmm. and why she would marry him. And that comes up all the time in the show. Mm-hmm. And obviously, her mom doesn't like Durwood at all.
And then you're wondering, like, is they don't like it because, you know, her mom randomly appears. Other relatives mm-hmm. just randomly appear. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's how you get to live your life otherwise. And she's chosen instead to be like, well, I'm technically kind of being immortal because mm-hmm. I'm living in the suburbs and I'm living this life with my family.
And they're always like, why don't you just magic it? Like, why don't you just do your thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I promised my husband that I wouldn't.
Right. So she just, because she can do that. There's a couple times where she does the dishes by snapping her fingers. And then
seriously, if he was not at home, I would be doing all the housework. All like, why is she ever doing housework?
No. Why would
why?
You? Why?
It's
makes
ridiculous.
No sense. Yeah. Wait till he gets home and then pretend to
do
stuff.
Oh,
you're
look,
fine.
I did all of these things with my own hands. I wasn't sitting here watching TV all day long.
I didn't
and
like
reading.
Just, you know, snap my fingers and
out
the dishes
in our
got done.
Gorgeous backyard all the time.
Oh my God. And the house was huge. And we have to talk about Mrs. Kravitz. Because, well, she was played by two different actresses. I realized that over time.
She was played by Alice Pierce and Sandra Gould. Alice Pierce, I believe, was the first one. I liked the first one.
The first one was better.
Yeah.
And then, but I don't know how she never got committed. I mean, she saw all the
she
crazy.
Saw everything.
And Mr. Kravitz never saw anything.
Abner.
She tried to go, Abner, come look at this. And then everything's normal.
She did see. She saw people disappear.
Mm-hmm. Walk
she
into
saw
walls.
Things turn into animals.
Yep.
She saw that kid was spraying water out of his ears.
Out of his ears, yep.
She saw everything.
She saw everything.
She
and
didn't
she
go crazy.
Never, you know, they always just like let it go. And she, she didn't have any idea.
And the Kravitzes lived across the street. In our last house, we had an old couple who lived across the street, and that woman was always standing in the window, which I later found out was because it was her kitchen sink. But she was always standing in that window watching us, so I always
called her Mrs.
called
Kravitz.
Them the Kravitzes. And
well, and that's a name that's referenced a lot throughout time. You always hear people say, oh, Mrs. Kravitz.
Yeah.
So anyone who's nosy is Mrs. Kravitz because she
I
really
have been
was
called
nosy.
Gladys.
before.
Gladys.
Come on, Gladys. I saw one recently where the Great Fairy came, who's technically the Tooth Fairy. So Tabitha wants Samantha to pull her tooth out and mm-hmm. somehow gets out or whatever. So the Tooth Fairy comes, but she's the Great Fairy. And she ends up switching places with Samantha for a night because she drinks too much brandy.
Like, and the fairy does?
The fairy does. Oh, okay. And makes Samantha go do her fairy duties all night long. Well, she switches and then she doesn't want to switch back. But the best part about this story is the person who played the great fairy is Aunt Edna from National Lampoon's Vacation, who her name in real life is Imogene Coca.
Oh my goodness.
And the whole time, all you see is Aunt Edna because that's who she was later on. And so
Aunt Edna didn't live very long in that movie.
No. And that's just it. It's like she, I mean, it was so funny. When I saw her, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is Aunt Edna. She's Sam's Aunt Mary because she's the great fairy and they have to pretend like she's somebody's aunt. But she's another one. She gets taken away by the police. And of course, Mrs. Kravitz sees it. And she's just like, oh, they took your aunt away.
Samantha. She's always running over there. And they're like, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, come on in. It's fine. Everything's good.
Well, let's talk about the rest of the cast.
Yes.
Dick York, like we said, played the original Darren or Durwood. You know what? Your brother-in-law.
Yes.
Darren. I don't know if he still gets mad about it, but I've always called him Durwood, and he used to get really mad about it. I think he kind of still does, but he's getting used to it. So, I mean, it's been, what, like 15 years?
Long time, yeah.
So Dick York, he actually left the show in 1969 because he had chronic back pain from an accident that, or an injury he sustained when he was filming the movie They Came to Cordura. In 1959 with Gary Cooper and Rita Hayworth.
Interesting.
And so he had chronic back pain. He was on a lot of painkillers. And he did have, like, small roles after Bewitched, but not a whole lot. So they replaced him with Dick Sargent. In 1966, he was in a movie with Don Knotts called The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, which I don't know if you've ever seen it. But my family quotes that movie incessantly to where it's kind of embarrassing.
I feel like I maybe saw it because now that you said that, I feel like I kind of remember it. But I had to have been really young and didn't see it a lot. It wasn't, I don't think it's one of those ones we watched a lot over and over like we did some of the movies.
It's a hilarious movie. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. But Dick Sargent plays a straight man in that. He just plays like the... I think he's like the newspaper reporter. And in Bewitched, he's kind of a straight man, too. He's like the Darren who isn't all crazy. Because original Darren was really uptight and crazy.
He was.
And he got on my nerves.
He was always like, Sam! Like, he'd freak out about something she would do. Everything
freaked him out.
And, he was kind of stern a little bit. But he didn't really, like, freak out with, like, anxiousness when she did anything. Or even...
He was more chill.
Yeah, he was definitely more chill.
And her mom and Dora called him Durwood because she didn't bother to learn his real name.
Of course. And because why would she? Because he won't be around that long.
I mean, relatively, he won't be around that long. If you think about it, Samantha's already more than a century old.
I remember when I was little watching an episode where, and I don't even remember which Darren it was because it was so long ago that I saw this, that he's like... But I'm going to grow old and you're going to look exactly the same. And then she snapped her fingers and was like, well, I'll do that. You know, like, as you get older, I'll look like this. And then now as an adult, I'm thinking, but then when he dies, you'll just go back to being young again and find someone else.
And find someone else. I mean, because they do age, though, because, like, Aunt Clara, is it? She's, like, old and crazy.
Right. Or do you get to pick what stage you want to live your life in? I don't know, because... Maybe you can.
Tabitha is aging at a regular rate. Maybe it's because she's half mortal. I don't know, but she's aging just normal. And so when does it stop? When
I don't know.
I have these same questions with Twilight. Questions. So, I mean,
could you be know, just about anything.
Sometimes we just need to stop being grown-ups and we need to suspend our disbelief because
exactly. Just watch the show just as watch a the sitcom show. That was funny.
Agnes Moorehead played Endora, and she had a contract with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer in the mid-40s. So she did a lot of movies. In 1960, she was in the Hayley Mills movie Pollyanna. I don't know if you ever saw that, but she played like a crotchety old lady in Pollyanna. And she took the role of Endora thinking that the show wouldn't last very long because she felt that TV was beneath her. She looked down on... TV actors and whatever. And so she didn't ever like playing Endora, but she didn't think it would take off. So she did it. And it's rumored that she was just She was unhappy with it. She had, she only did as many episodes as she was contracted for. So that's why a lot of times she's not even in the show. But she did get 6 Emmys for Bewitched. And every time she was interviewed about it, she would remind the reporters that she was on the stage and she was in movies and, you know, this is not her thing. Oh, so
that's funny because she was great as Endora.
Yeah.
She, I always loved her and she was funny and she...
She was so sassy. I loved her.
And she really, she always put Darren in his place and just, she's like, don't care what you want, daughter. I'm going to do whatever I want. And it was hilarious.
Yeah. Even as a kid, I was like, yeah, that lady's... That lady's awesome.
That lady's cool.
I'm going to be that lady. I'm going to wear those big muumuus like she wears.
Mm-hmm, and my crazy eyeshadow.
Oh, she was so fun. And she would just pop in. Like, wouldn't that worry you that your mother-in-law could just pop in anytime? And she did it
at his office, too.
She sure did.
And, like, looked at him through magazines.
Well, Elizabeth Montgomery played Samantha. And she was... beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I wanted, when I was a kid, I had decided I wanted to be Samantha. First, I wanted to be Mary Tyler Moore and, like, you know, work in an office. Yes. And then I would get married and be Samantha and live in the suburbs. Perfect. So,
and snap your laundry done and your dishes done.
Yeah. And just, you know, twitch my nose and then everything is done. That would be nice. She had several small TV roles before Bewitched. She was actually in the movie Bikini Beach with Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon, but it was uncredited.
Mm.
So if you want to go back and watch that, that was in 1964, which is when Bewitched was released. But of course, the movie was filmed before that. In 1975, she played Lizzie Borden in the TV movie The Legend of Lizzie Borden. And after she died in 1995, genealogical records revealed that she... and the real Lizzie Borden were 6th cousins once removed.
Oh, my goodness. She did not know that. Interesting.
She also was involved with several political activism groups for causes like women's rights, AIDS activism, and rights for gays and the disabled, which makes sense with a show that's trying to kind of open people's eyes as far as civil rights and all that, and diversity. Yeah. That's pretty cool. But
that's awesome.
Unfortunately, she passed away from colon cancer in 95 at the age of 62. David White played Larry Tate, who was kind of a doucheburger.
Mm-hmm. The boss doucheburger.
Can I say doucheburger?
Sure,
on the
why
show?
Not?
Like, when I was a kid, I thought Larry was kind of funny, but now that I'm an adult, he was so mean to his wife.
Yeah.
And he was always looking for other ladies. And there was one episode where Serena, which was Samantha's cousin, yes, who was actually played also by Elizabeth Montgomery. But again, I liked her better than Samantha. Because it's just me as a kid. I was kind of a weird kid. Serena was trying to seduce Larry in Darren's office. And I think she almost succeeded. But he was always chasing the ladies, and he was always at the bar with Darren.
That's the other thing about stuff like shows like that where guys and whatever job that is, maybe the whole day drinking like happens a lot.
Yeah, it was very Mad Men. He was very Don Draper in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Except and again, not at all good looking. I mean, he was okay.
I'd love to mention Dallas, of course. And that happens a lot in Dallas because, you know, the oil men get to drink during lunch. Because
how can
that's
you
normal.
Drink at lunch and then go back to your job?
Well, I could, but...
I couldn't. I would just sit there and stare at my computer.
Oh, no, I could. That'd be awesome. And they always would randomly show up at their house, too, of course, when there should be some kind of misunderstanding or some, like, hijink between the
or when
the
his
witches.
Wife had left him, which happened constantly, and she would go to the Stevens and be like, I've left Larry. Like, the last episode I watched, she had her suitcase.
Nice.
And Larry was trying to come in through the window to get her.
I love that. Just show up at people's houses. It's like, it's fine.
Well, you know, it's the 60s. We assume all that stuff happened in the 60s.
That's true.
So some other characters are Aunt Clara. I always loved Aunt Clara.
I loved
just
Aunt Clara,
just because of the
too.
Way she talked.
Yes.
She was the poor woman. Her magic was never working.
No, and she's always... She's like had that old, innocent old look woman. On her face. Yeah.
She's
so cute.
Serena, Dr. Bombay...
Dr. Bombay.
I'm told that when I was little, I would laugh and laugh at Dr. Bombay for some reason. He was played by Bernard Fox, who also played Twiggly Top of Middlebottom and the monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go, mentioning the monkeys again. There we go,
shocking, I know.
And Esmeralda, that was another aunt of
Samantha's,
was not as old as Aunt Clara, but she was having, like, issues with her magic, and she would sneeze, and, like, things would pop up, or she would do a magic thing, and it would disappear really fast, or just everything was always off for her. Uncle Arthur, played by Paul Lind, who was Templeton, the rat in Charlotte's Web. I loved Uncle Arthur. He was so over the top. I was watching an episode the other day where he and Samantha were like fake flirting with each other and like throwing back sexual innuendos. And what? I was like, is that not your uncle?
Isn't that your uncle?
Ew.
What is happening?
It's unclear if the show is supposed to be set in Connecticut. Or maybe New York, sometimes Los Angeles. Like, it was filmed in Los Angeles, but sometimes they had New York plates, but then they alluded to it being in Connecticut, so it's not really clear. But, again, it was the 60s, and nobody was going to analyze these shows.
No.
Because
never were they to be watched ever again.
The Kravitzes were supposed to live across the street, but if you look, like, if they're standing out in their yard, at one point they were standing in their yard and you could see like a huge church across the street. Because this was filmed on the back lot of the Columbia Ranch, which is where all the shows like The Monkees and Gidget and all those shows were filmed. So what actually was across the street was other sets.
Yeah.
And the Kravitz's house, the set was actually, it butted up against the house. So, no, the house was not really across the street.
But didn't early on, too? I swear early on in the episodes that were, like, black and white, it was almost like they lived next door.
Sometimes they would go next door and they were at the Kravitz's house. But even Mrs. Kravitz would say that she lived across the street.
That's true.
So the interior of the Bewitched house, which I love their house.
Yes.
Is gorgeous. I always wanted to live.
Amazing.
And how many doors did they have on the back of their house? Like the living room that goes out to like the backyard.
Yeah, there's
had
like
several doors.
Yeah. I was thinking at first there was a sliding glass door, but then the burglar came in just a random door.
The burglar was trying to get in a door.
And then one just popped open.
He's like, oh, this door next to it is open. So there were two sets of French doors. I guess so you could open it up and have fresh air. It was kind of like a lanai.
Oh.
But, I mean, that is my dream right there.
Yeah.
I would live in that house. Mm. It was gorgeous. And it had a ton of rooms and an office and their kitchen with the avocado appliances.
Yes.
And practically the same washer and dryer that we had in my house. And
that was another one, too, where when I found that first episode was a different house. And I never paid attention to whether they actually moved, because I'd have to go back and look. But the very first episode, they were not in that house.
There's an episode where they buy the house.
Okay,
and I don't know if it's a flashback episode, because it was in color and the show was originally in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I actually stumbled onto a super cute website when I was looking at these things. It's called Hooked on Houses. It's like a blog, but she has a lot of, like, HGTV houses and stuff like that that she talks about. But she also has a list of movie and TV houses. Not everything.
Yeah.
But Bewitched is on there. Friends is on there.
Of course.
And she has all these stills from the show that you can look at. And she has from, like, the episode where they bought the house and all that stuff. But, yeah, that's hookedonhouses.net. If you want to go over there.
I shall.
I think it's still current. I don't know. I didn't delve into it too much, but I'm going to because it was awesome. And I will link it in the show notes. So again, it was filmed on the back lot of the Columbia Ranch. And the interior of the house can be seen in the 1969 Jerry Lewis film Hook, Line, and Sinker. And was also used in the TV series Gidget and I Dream of Jeannie. They just kind of changed.
Used the same, yeah.
That yeah, not, sense. I don't think for the main houses, but for, you know, all of those shows would share sets with each other. It was also in the TV movie Brian's Song in 1971. And it appeared in the opening tag sequence of the final episode of season one of The Monkees, Monkees on Tour. And if you look at it, I always thought that house looked familiar. Like, in so before they go on tour, they're sitting, like, Davey's sitting in a rocker in front of some doors, and he's like, oh, you know, we're doing this and we're going to show you what it's like when we're on tour. And then the other guys come out and they're like wearing disguises. It's the Bewitched house.
Interesting.
I don't know if I knew that or if I just felt like it was really familiar. I don't think I would have straight up recognized it, but it was their furniture. It was just the set. Because the monkeys could do that. They could just go use anyone's set, and it didn't even matter.
Because they're awesome.
They're awesome. Again, no episode where we don't mention the monkeys.
We don't mention.
I always loved Bewitched. It was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. I remember watching it from my playpen.
Yeah, I remember watching. I just remember watching a lot of episodes, and I think that was, I'm sure my parents watched it when it was actually on.
Yeah.
So we probably watched reruns, and they're like, oh yeah, Bewitched. And yeah, it was great. I just always remember thinking, like, how fun that would be to be able to do that stuff. I mean, that was the best part.
And that he wouldn't let her do it.
Yeah, that was also the weird thing. That there was, like, always that angst between them about it. And just like, well, yeah, and she always did that, too. She always had that, well, like, she would do that.
I used to do that every once in a while. there was probably a couple months there of my childhood that I did that. And I think my parents asked me to stop doing it.
Knock that off.
Yeah. I mean, why is she living in his world? Why doesn't he come live in her world?
Right.
I mean,
is he allowed to live in her world?
He's
though,
like, you know what I want to do? I want to go work in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And you stay home and be my wife.
Right. And she's just like, oh, okay, that sounds great. Although I've been traveling the world for 500 years or whatever she was.
Which she can still do. But maybe she was like, you know what? This is only for a little while.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. Like, why not do it? Why not be like, well, I'm going to live forever or however that goes. And then say, yeah, oh, I'll live this life then for, you know, 80 years and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, the witches and the warlocks, they were old and they would like talk about people that they knew, like Napoleon or somebody, and like, oh yeah, I totally knew that guy, like back in the day.
That's another thing I think maybe why Darren was so just mad all the time was like because he didn't fit in,
because she was worldly.
And
obviously her mother looked down on him, and I think that all of the witches looked down on the mortals, like they're so stupid, they can't even do anything.
And what do you mean you can't make that come over here? You can't get that ashtray to move across the table. And he just the definitely for sure the first Darren took it to the extreme, like being annoyed and just
hated everything. What did she ever see in him? Everything.
I kind of wondered that too, like they just they were never a normal, I mean, they never seemed to fit as an actual couple. And
she's like, how can I serve you today, Jerwood? But still, when I was a little girl, I wanted to grow up and live in the suburbs and be a housewife. And the Kravitzes were like the opposite because they hated each other. I think they didn't have kids, or maybe they had like one kid. I don't know. But they were older and maybe their kids had moved out. But they just hated each other. And he was always belittling her. And he's like, just go take your medicine.
That was the one, too, where she saw the police take the good fairy. He did say something to her like, something along the lines of like, there's like a 2-for-1 at the loony bin. So don't let her out of your sight. Right? Like he was trying to commit his own wife. So, yeah, there was always like that angst. But he,
And sometimes,
she'd be like, you think I'm crazy? Look at this. And then I thought, oh, yeah, he does think you're crazy.
And nothing was ever happening when he would look.
No.
Samantha would get it all in order.
Yeah.
And he's like, he would even come to her house and come get Gladys.
Yeah.
And take her back and be like, all right, I came to get my crazy wife that I still haven't committed. Gladys would try to like come on to Abner sometimes in some of the episodes. And he's like, no, I'm not having it. Absolutely not.
Get away from me.
I'm like, what? And as a kid, I was like, ha ha ha.
You're like, oh, okay. That's normal, I guess.
Oh, hey. So for all of the 60s TV fans out there, we want to let everybody know that we're going to Denver next month.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to see the Monkees present Mickey and Mike. What do they call it? The Monkees Present Mike and Mickey?
Yes, the Monkees Present Mike and Mickey.
Yeah, so we're going to see that concert in Denver next month.
Oh, gosh. We're so excited. It is beyond, beyond excitement.
So if you happen to be there and you see us,
yeah,
say hi and we'll give you a sticker.
For sure.
A TV Tangent sticker.
We'd love to meet people who, you know, are fans of our podcast and
like the stuff that we like.
Yeah, like the same things we do. Hopefully you hear us talking and can relate. And yeah, definitely come up and say hi to us and tell us who you are and what you've liked about what things we've said or things that you think we should talk about, I guess.
All right, let's, you know, wrap it up.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And oh, if you want to go to patreon.com, you can sign up for exclusive episodes, including our Friends Season 1 episode where we talk about how obsessed we are with Friends. Yes. And if you are an obsessed Friends fan, then you'll understand what we're talking about
and really in that appreciate episode. It.
So go to patreon.com and look for TV Tangents and become a sponsor. Thanks for joining us. We'd love it if you would leave a review and also follow us on Facebook. Be sure to tune in next week for more TV Tangents.